it is aimed at the WikiLeaks situation, and I was a little concerned initially because I was afraid what was going to happen was a lot of times in the federal government the pendulum swings the other way, and that they would close down the ability to share and really tighten up controls. But this acknowledges that the fact that you have to continue to share information in order to be able to protect things and be able to go forward and those types of things. So I'm excited about the way that this is written from that aspect, that it reinforces the information sharing.
There is an establishment of a steering committee that's going to help keep them on this path. Give me your thoughts about how this can be done by committee.
Well, and so as an insider, when you look at this, you're like, okay, that's exactly what an executive order is supposed to do. I know from the outside it looks very bureaucratic, and people are thinking like, oh, my gosh, another committee. But what it really does is try to establish, okay, there's a place where you can do resolution that there's a gap in a policy. And that's really a lot of what the information sharing environment and what the program manager for the information sharing environment was established to do, was to convene that group so that you could continue down the path of achieving that goal or that result, right? And so if there's an issue, the committee allows for that vetting of that issue so that a right policy decision could be made. So establishing a committee to really look at, and then a task force to look at the insider threat, is the way that the bureaucracy works in the executive branch, but it is also the way to achieve results in the executive branch.
So you have somebody looking at it, in other words.
Yeah, all the time. And you know that there's a place, and there's regular meetings, and you know that there's a place where you can take your issues. So if you can't get resolution on a daily basis, right, because I'm doing my job today, then I have a place to escalate it, and that it can be taken care of quickly, and I don't have to go all the way up the chain to the Secretary of Defense and then across and then down. I can actually take it into this committee and get it fixed.
Now, the WikiLeaks fiasco was someone who was a trusted insider, someone who had access to CIPRNet and NIPRNet in DOD, a soldier, and deliberately gave away material that he knew to be classified. And that's a different situation than somebody accidentally or sharing with the wrong person. When you have a deliberate insider breach like that, how does this memo and this new policy address that threat?
Well, so it shifts the paradigm of security, because what you just described assumes you trust the person, so it's the insider threat. So they vetted that person, and then they're inside the house, so to speak, right? And then they can take whatever they want and leave.
Right.
Right. And so what this is really emphasizing, again, and really shifting that, is you really have to have access controls and authorize it. So that's really an authorization, so to speak, right? So a person comes in, and why would a private from the Army have full, total access to State Department cables? And so this is reemphasizing, taking a look at once you're in, you better make sure you still have those controls. So he can know that the State Department cables existed, but he needs to get somebody to then say yes, and because of the job you do, you should have access to those. So this is reemphasizing that, and this is really taking access controls and all of the identity management and everything that all the agencies have been working on and taking it into the classified environment and making sure that they really meet those objectives. And so it's leveraging a lot of the things that have happened in the program manager's information sharing environment that's happened through the state, local, and federal levels with the SAR reporting, which is the suspicious activity reporting. So if you think about that type of information, they worked out all the rules. They worked out all the access, privacy, civil liberties, and they share that information, and they control the sharing of that information. So they're taking that best practice, and they're applying it over into now the classified networks to make sure it works well there as well.
We're talking with Karen Evans, the former administrator of the Office of Electronic Government and Information Technology at the Office of Management and Budget. As I was looking through this, some of it rang familiar. Isn't some of this already being practiced anyway?
Yes. Yes, it is. And so that's why I said this actually shifts that thought process. So on the unclassified networks, when you read this, this should sound very, very familiar. Like the removable media, you know, online identity management, all of those types of things like that, you've read about those over and over and over again. This executive order is reemphasizing that now in the classified world. What it's saying in the classified world is, okay, now that we've vetted you, we still have to make sure that you need to have that authorization. So they're taking a lot of the things that happen in the unclassified world because that's so open, and they're putting it into the classified world, which was really closed. So the WikiLeaks piece demonstrates that even though it's a closed environment, you still have insider threat issues you have to deal with.
So who needs to do something next in the agency, which specific person, and what do they have to do next?
Well, what they did here was they said that there should be a senior information sharing and advisor, right, an official that's going to be part of this committee and going forward. And so what they're going to be doing is really looking at their classified networks and reemphasizing that these controls that they were putting in place, that they should have had in place, are actually in place and robust. And they have been doing that since the WikiLeaks situation. Most people are thinking, oh, like now they're going to do it because the executive order was out. That they were doing it since the WikiLeaks situation happened. The executive order just formalizes how the agencies are going about doing it so that, you know, as people come and go from a department or an agency, there's a formal document that you go back and look at and say, this is why you're doing what you're doing.